Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
And that's it.
You know, we've used that joke when you weren't here, too.
Really?
We said exactly the same thing. Which I'm okay with. It's not bad. It's just funny that both you and Lyle said exactly the same thing.
I guess I should have listened to the episode that I wasn't on. So yeah, Lyle's a loser. He's not here this week. He's out doing something else, not podcasting.
Right, and hopefully he won't listen to this episode and hear you say that.
Fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah. Over the weekend, it was Golden Week here in Japan, and of course the Japan International Gamers Guild Kansai branch had their annual Golden Week convention.
Anybody who doesn't know, Golden Week is just a short spring kind of week-long holiday that Japanese people do.
Yeah, and like most Japanese holidays, everybody has it off, so everything is packed.
Except for me.
I didn't have it off either. Well, luckily, it fell on a weekend. But anyway, I got to play a lot of awesome board games, and a lot of them are getting added to my want list.
Come on, do tell.
All right. So I played a game called Yggdrasil, which is a co-op game similar to Pandemic, but with the Norse mythology. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of trying to beat, eradicate viruses, you're trying to prevent,
Ragnarok?
Yeah, essentially. You're trying to, there's like a track along the top, and Hel, Fenris, Surtur, Nidhogg, and Jormungandr advance along this track, and if they get to a certain point, the end, well then, Ragnarok happens, and all the Norse gods lose. So, the goal is to keep them, back on this track by collecting items and fighting them, and I liked it better than Pandemic. Mm-hmm. Because after a while, in my opinion, the limited type of actions you can do in Pandemic starts to get kind of boring.
Uh-huh.
Because there's only like four or five things you can do.
Yeah.
In this one, in Yggdrasil, there's a lot more that you can do. There's a lot more, worlds on the board, probably nine for the nine worlds, and each world has an action associated with it. So I thought it was pretty good. I like it better than Pandemic.
And wow, that sounds really cool. Do you play as like a Norse god?
Yes. There are five players. I saw Odin, Tyr, Thor, Freya, and who else? Oh, maybe it was only four.
Hmm.
But there's other ones in the box, and they all have like a special ability. Like Thor automatically got plus one on his battle die. Tyr could reroll any dice he wanted. I was Freya, and I could do the same action twice,
cool,
which other people couldn't do. And Odin, of course, had the ability where he could like look at the top of the event deck, or look at the two cards, and put one on the top, one on the bottom, and mm-hmm. that dictated which monster moved.
So
you could kind of plan your strategy. So yeah, it was really fun. I enjoyed it, and of course, the Norse theme makes it already an excellent game in my book.
Cool. Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And the other thing, good for us, it's all symbols. There's no in-game text. So it was admittedly a little bit tricky at the beginning to figure out what the symbols meant.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you knew what they meant, you didn't need to read anything. There was no text on the board at all.
So it's like any other game you buy in Japan. You have to spend time figuring out what the symbols mean. It's just in this case, they're not kanji.
Yeah. And here, this one, they're like Norse runes and icons. But that's pretty good.
Cool.
The other one I played was Flashpoint,
mm-hmm.
which is another cooperative game where you are firefighters attempting to rescue people from a burning house.
Cool.
And yeah, similar to Pandemic and Yggdrasil, everybody kind of has a special ability, whether it's more action points to put out fires or more action points to move to rescue people or fire the big water cannon from the back of the fire truck.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
also, it's a big cooperative game.
Yeah, it's another cooperative game. And unlike Yggdrasil, which we won, the fire kicked our butts twice.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I know. Out of six players, only two firefighters survived when the house collapsed.
Uh-huh.
And that was only because they had been in an explosion the turn before and had gotten sent back to the ambulance.
sounds like kind of a similar kind of thing, like a spreading danger kind of thing.
Yeah, it is exactly. You know, and I thought it had a pretty neat mechanic. Like, there's a big grid on the board, and one side is a D6, so numbered 1 through 6. And, you know, then, like, the top side will be a D8, 1 through 8. So to determine where the fire starts, you roll a D6 and a D8, and that gives you coordinates on the grid that is the house of where a fire starts or where things are placed. So I thought that was really cool. And, yeah, there's some backdraft-style stuff going on in that game because, first, you know, there's smoke. But if smoke would get placed next to a fire, it becomes fire. Mm-hmm. So what happened to me one turn is, okay, I have a cat in my arms.
Okay.
I'm very stupidly standing on top of some flammable material next to some smoke. And, like, way at the other end of the house, something catches fire, and all this smoke chains into fire and comes, like, roaring down the hallway, hits me, and then, of course, hits the explosive stuff I'm underneath and sends all this fire everywhere else. And so the cat died, and I went back to the ambulance, you know. And so
you're a terrible firefighter.
I am. And then I'm like, yeah, I was a terrible firefighter. Because actually, one time I said, okay, where am I standing? Oh, like 4-5? I'm going to call 4-5. Sure enough, that's where the fire started on me. I exploded, went back to the ambulance again. And everyone yelled at me, never call anything again. You know? So that was really fun, though. And again, once you get the hang of it, it's real easy. But there is in-game text. Like, all the characters are different. And so you would have to, like, read their special ability. Mm-hmm. But it's still a fun cooperative game that I think, you know, family-friendly. Well, yeah. Apart from cats dying and stuff, but...
yeah. No people die inside the house, right?
There's these mystery tokens that get placed on the board. And you don't know if they're a blank or a person to rescue. And in this one, animals count as people. Yeah. So you only find out what they are when you get to the same space and flip them over. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, I thought there was a person here, but it's actually a blank. Or, hey, where did that person come from when I just cleared out that room? Uh-huh. So, yeah, we had some people die.
Yes, I read it. You're a terrible firefighter.
I am. I made a pretty bad joke, like this Caucasian woman token with blonde hair and blue eyes slipped over. And I'm like, well, you know she's getting rescued. And, of course, like the one token African-American guy, he died.
Well done.
Yep,
well
yep. Done. He literally was a token. Yeah. So.
Awesome.
The other game that really impressed me was a print and play game, Battlestar Galactica Express.
Yeah, I saw some people posting on that on the Facebook group.
I was really impressed with that. In my opinion, it captured all the paranoia and tension and finger pointing of regular Battlestar Galactica in a much smaller and manageable amount of time with a lot less fiddly bits. Mm-hmm. So I think I actually like it better than regular Battlestar Galactica just because it takes less time to play and doesn't hurt your brain when you're done.
Hmm.
There's still a lot of mystery going on. Like, you have these dice that you roll behind a screen, and they're either, like, positive or negative, and you have strong dice or weak dice, and you roll them in secret, and then you contribute dice to a pool to sort of unlock actions or beat crises, you know? Mm-hmm. And you, of course, commit before you roll the dice, but the other players don't see what you roll. Mm-hmm. So they don't know whether you are lying when you say, sorry, guys, this is the best die I can contribute. And, you know, it's something small. Or when you actually play a negative, because once you commit to rolling dice, you have to add something to the pool, even if they're all negatives. Mm-hmm. So I really liked how there's that, okay, does he actually have something better, or is he choosing to play this because he's trying to screw us?
Hmm.
So that's still there. And, yeah, it's just much more compact and manageable.
Well,
so,
you know, the bigger bit of Star Galactica game, a lot of the stuff together with it was to make it more like the show, you know, like all the locations and the dials and things like that. So it sounds like this one, they just stripped all that and kept the really good Cylon mechanic, right?
It is still similar to the big version, like all the, not all, but the characters are there. The actions you can take are very similar to actions you could take at various locations in the actual game. You just don't have to move there. Like, there's a brig, and you can take, you can, you know, initiate a vote to send someone to or get someone out of the brig. There is, like, you don't go into Vipers, but there's an action you can take to remove raider contacts, you know, from your screen, and protect colony ships. You can kind of, like, motivate people with, like, the presidential speech and give them extra dice, which kind of translate to actions in Battlestar Galactica Express. So, while not the same, I'm very impressed with how similar it is using dice. So, and since it's a print-and-play game, I think it's available for free, so I kind of intend to print it out and mock it up so we can play it, because, yeah, it's just a lot easier and quicker to play. I mean, I don't think it replaced big Battlestar Galactica, but, hey, it's Express, so I see it getting played a lot more often. So, yeah, highly recommended.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I have to try it out. Yeah, I didn't do anything over the weekend.
Well, that's not true. You must have done something.
I went to a nice barbecue and another friend's kids thing, so lots of kids running around and barbecues and beers, so that was nice. I finally got to watch some movies, though, and I watched that one you recommended a long time ago, Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, I liked it, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because I kind of see it as being part of that whole Harry Potter, Twilight kind of semi-adult series books that have come out recently.
I believe it's called Young Adult.
Young adults, yeah. Well, I don't know. A lot of older people also get into them, especially Twilight. Team Jacob! But what was I saying?
Lost your train of thought. Thinking of those abs, didn't you?
Exactly. It's werewolves, man. The werewolves and their abs. It's just something amazing. But it was a really good story. Like, I like Harry Potter a lot, but I don't think it's really very deep, and I just think Twilight is kind of crap.
Right.
But yeah, Hunger Games is really enjoyable.
Yeah, I had read the book, and I think the book actually doesn't take long to read at all. It's fairly short. And yeah, I really liked the book. And as usual, as you can expect, it's me. There were things in the movie that were different from the book, but I understand why they were different, right? Like, the big one is, okay, the whole contest lasts for weeks, at least like 2 or 3 weeks, where in the movie it seems like it lasts for 2 or 3 days. But of course, you don't really want to show, you know, 3 weeks passing during a movie when nothing really happened.
Yeah, I noticed they kept talking about that, like how you need to find water and you need to get shelter. You can, people freeze to death or die of infection. I'm thinking, really? You're there for like 24 hours.
Yeah, because again, like in the book, maybe spoiler, she almost dies with like in like the first couple of days, specifically because she cannot find water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's like 3 or 4 days where she's trying really hard to conserve water and practically almost dies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was kind of in the movie, like, you don't really get that sense of urgency, but how can you show that without using cheesy montages, you know?
Yeah.
So, overall, I thought it was a really good movie.
Yeah, yeah, I quite enjoyed it. So, can't wait for the second one.
Yep, don't know when it comes out over here. Soon.
I hope. Yeah. Because I'm very late in watching this one, so at least the sequel will be coming out soon enough for me.
I got the books, if you want all 3 of them, if you want to borrow them.
Ah, I wouldn't read them, but thank you for the offer.
Oh, jeez. A book? What's this? No thank you!
I mean, I don't have enough time to sit down for a 2-hour movie. Where am I going to find time to read a whole book?
You know? Audiobook, dude.
Oh, no. Well, actually, that's doable.
I don't have them on audiobook, but you could probably find them.
Okay, so you're not offering the thing that I can use.
Right.
Thanks.
Sorry.
But it actually kind of gets into the topic that we're going to be talking about today. We're talking about player versus player, or people versus people, PvP games. Which we've, of course, split hairs over the definition of, but by all means, Wayne, I think yours was the winner.
I think we split all the hairs ever trying to come up with a definition of player versus player. And as usual, we were arguing quite a bit too, weren't we?
We just can't hold a regular conversation, eh?
I don't think we can. Hey, we've been doing okay for the first 15 minutes here.
It won't last.
I know. You know, actually, I'm kind of wondering why they call it PvP when it should be character versus character.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Because player versus player can just get violent.
Yeah. All right, so after much deliberation, the definition we came up with for a PvP game is a game in which it is acceptable for characters to actively work directly against one another on all levels, up to and including death.
Yeah, and of course this ties in well with the example we were just talking about, the Hunger Games, where you know the entire setup, and this isn't a spoiler, I don't think, is where all of the players are in kind of this big arena where they have to kill each other. The last one standing is the winner.
Yep. 12 districts, 2 tributes per district, 24 kids. Only one person can win.
Yep.
And that's by killing everyone else. Or not dying, I guess, because you don't actually have to kill them. You just have to survive. Mm-hmm. But, so yeah, that is directly a player versus player setup.
Yeah, and this ties into some of the other topics that we've done in the past, like the gladiators is something else that lends really well into PvP because, you know, you'll gladiators fight each other, so kind of run into that.
So I am curious, because something you said when we were discussing this is you mentioned the Avengers.
Yeah, that's another example for PvP, I think.
Which I would not consider PvP, so I'm very curious to hear your viewpoint on why it is.
Well, actually, I think it's kind of the way around. I was curious why you think it's not. Oh, but okay, my idea why is that kind of that's really the whole first half of the movie, is how much the team want to fight each other and how much they dislike each other and how close they are. Well, you remember when, like, Thor and Iron Man and Captain America all first got in the same place at the same time, they kicked the crap out of each other.
That's true.
You remember the line, it was like, this isn't a team, this is a time bomb.
Right, and I guess I was looking at it, obviously, from a different perspective where the story is about them becoming a team. And while they didn't get along at first and they actually fought, I don't know if they would have killed each other.
Maybe not those three, but if you put the Hulk in there.
True, although that's...
Again, though, it's a little bit off to the side because, you know, they're superheroes and superheroes don't really kill each other.
Right.
So it's just outside the genre. But, you know, it's the same kind of way that the Hunger Games, you know, the setting is where everyone is supposed to kill each other. But in the story, it's about how the two main characters, Peeta and Katniss, how they are able to get along in this environment without killing each other. It's about them working as a team.
Yes.
So, like, I think that player versus player is... a big aspect of both of those movies, more so in the Hunger Games, of course, because that's kind of the driving force. But, yeah, I still think it's a valid part of each.
Fair enough. I kind of see what you're saying.
If you're going to play, replay the Avengers movie as a game, then the first part of it would include players fighting each other. Even if the objective is, in the end, to not kill each other, kind of in that point inside the fiction, it is to hurt or be rid of the other person. And the only reason you're not going to the death is because the superhero genre doesn't really go that far.
Yeah, and I think that's why I kind of considered it wasn't, you know, like, nobody really thinks that the superheroes are going to kill each other, right? No one really thinks that Iron Man is going to actually kill Captain America. The Hulk's a bit of a different story since, you know, he's not always in complete control of himself. So in that case, it would be like, you know, manslaughter rather than murder. It'd be like an accident. You know?
Well, you're absolutely right, though. I mean, even if the Hulk got Iron Man alone without his suit, the Hulk would still pound him, but because of the genre, Iron Man probably wouldn't die. Or if he did, it would be a big shock to the audience.
Right. And while I agree that, yeah, they were at odds at the beginning, the story was about them becoming a team. Mm-hmm. And that was always the main point of the story, where... I think those are good examples. Okay, the Avengers and the Hunger Games, because I kind of see, like, the Avengers had some PvP despite it being a story about a team.
Yes, yes. It was a non-PvP game that had PvP in it.
Right. While the Hunger Games, the setting, it's designed to be PvP. Characters in that are expected to and trained to, and the audience is expected them to kill each other. Mm-hmm. Where despite that, a couple teamed up and sort of, refused to buy into that PvP mentality. So I think they're kind of like opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So, because of the whole setup for the Hunger Games, that to me is a PvP game, and just the players didn't really participate.
Yeah, yeah. So I agree.
Okay, I'm glad we agree on something. And I'm sure the audience is like, oh, thank God! Right. I can't listen to these guys anymore. All right, so now that we agreed that the Avengers was a team game that happened to have some player versus player, saying player versus player action sounds really dirty, but had some PvP action in it. Uh-huh. The first part of the discussion is, how would you do player versus player in a team game? And I'm going to add, and should you?
Okay. Well, when I was looking around for this, I saw on a lot of forums that a lot of people who run games, they said flat, outright, no. Just, I don't allow players to fight each other in my game. And, you know, I can kind of understand that mentality, especially if your gamers wouldn't really be able to handle going against one another, if they're not really that mature. But, man, it seems such a really harsh action to just completely rule it out, because it takes a lot of agency away from characters. You know, especially if there's something, you know, if... I remember in the game we played in the past, there was some parts where you guys wanted to torture information out of a witness.
Right.
And I think someone else in the group, I apologize, I don't remember who, but they were saying, no, I'm not for this, you know? And if it kind of went further for that, you know, who knows, somebody might have come to blows for it. But it was all in character, and it was all dramatic and interesting. So I don't think it should ever be really ruled out as a possibility, but it does need to have some limits and controls.
Okay, so I agree. Mm-hmm. And yeah, taking away player agency by saying this is something you cannot do, yeah, it does kind of chafe a little bit, and I don't think I would say that. However, and we discussed this prior to the episode, I think some types of games and some stories are about the team. Mm-hmm. And there's a plot-driven, team-oriented goal that all the players are working towards achieving.
Yep.
Possibly for different reasons, or having different motivations. And, you know, what happens after they get it is a completely different story. But for the time being, they're functioning as a team. And, you know, acting against the team's interest to the point where you will come to blows or put other team members in harm's way intentionally kind of goes against reaching that team goal. Mm-hmm. You're kind of actively preventing the rest of the characters from meeting that goal, which is kind of a selfish and not nice thing to do, in my opinion.
Yeah. I know this is going to sound kind of glib, but honestly, when it comes to that, I think just the important thing about having players fight each other in a game, a group-oriented game, is just maturity is important. You know, if the people you're playing with are going to be able to handle a temporary sidetrack into, you know, intergroup fighting, and then be able to get back onto the main thing when that's all finished with, or, you know, be able to roll that into the drama of the story, or even build it as a part of the story, then that's fantastic. That can make a story much more exciting and much more interesting. I mean, that was the whole premise behind the intergroup fighting with the Avengers. It made the story thicker because they had to learn how to be friends. They just weren't automatically super friends, you know?
Right, but, and again, I guess the Avengers is our go-to example. Like, you probably could have done all that without actual physical violence. It wouldn't have been as dramatic, I guess, you know? But there were ways to show that they disagree or they have different ways of operating or kind of different motivations without resorting to, you know, essentially dealing damage and picking up that die and rolling to see if you hit, to put it in game terms.
Right.
But, I guess, for me, one of the other problems of allowing, you know, PvP in what's supposed to be a team game is people don't hang around with people they don't like.
Yes.
If, especially, not especially, if they have a choice, right? Mm-hmm. So, if the team gets to like a point where two characters are really disagreeing and there's an absolute deadlock and no one is going to change anyone's mind, things are getting heated and people start attacking each other, mm-hmm. then the group's going to fall apart, because why would those characters choose to stay together? So, even though I said it does take away player agency to say you cannot attack other player characters, I do understand why a GM would say that, because it's more of a symptom than a cause. Like, it's a symptom, like, this is a non-functioning group.
Yeah.
They're going to disintegrate and break up, and maybe like the Avengers, they'll realize, hey, we really do work better as a team, put aside their differences, and then work as a team, which would kind of be an exciting story.
Yeah.
Or they're just going to break up, and that's going to be the end of the game, you know? Or you make it, or the GM says, tears up some character sheet, says, great, now make characters who will work together so we can finish this game, you know?
Yeah. Well, some of the other quotes I saw online, one guy said, you know, if that's why character building is important. You're not just building your own character, but you're building a character as part of a group in these games.
Right.
So if you have not made a reason that your character will put his life in the hands of the other characters, you have not made a good character for the group game.
Right.
I agree. Also fine. But, you know, I still think a lot can happen in the course of a campaign. Some campaigns last for years. And, you know, if something happens where the group splits up, again, I think it's what you said earlier, you know, what's important is this should be character versus character and not player versus player. If the people at the table aren't getting along, then that's not a problem that you have to worry about in-game. That's outside of the game.
Right.
But if everyone, all the players are happy to still play with each other, but just their characters are getting in the way, then do what you have to do to mitigate it. If it's one person who's going bad, then let him go bad, you know, evolve that story, turn him into an NPC villain. We actually did that in one of a campaigns I ran back in the States. Or sorry, I was a player in back in the States. One of the players found this glove of chaos, and it slowly turned him evil. And you know, eventually we had to kick him out of the group, but he became a villain afterwards, and it was a great story.
And when,
go on.
Oh, just to clarify, so when you said kick him out of the group, you mean the characters kicked him out of the character group?
Right, and the player made a new character that was now compatible with the group.
Right,
because
and
his old character wasn't.
I'm guessing that the player was totally cool with that.
Oh, absolutely. He loved it. He loved playing Chaos for a little while and then coming back to normal.
Right, right.
And actually, whenever we met up with that villain afterwards, he controlled him. He rolled the dice for it and everything as well.
Hmm.
It was
interesting.
Good fun. But because his stats weren't really secret anymore, he knew what
right.
they were all going
right.
to be. But also, you know, if it was a matter of the group splitting in half, you know, one side is for a certain goal and the other half is for another goal, then as long as the players are cool with each other, then you guys decide, all right, which goal is the one that, as a group of players, we prefer to go for. So this group of characters that don't agree, they can become NPCs or they can just kind of fade out of the story. And the people who played them can play new people in the game and continue on.
Right.
Or just fold the campaign because maybe it just isn't worth progressing at that point.
Yeah. No, I think what you said before about, you know, making characters who will work together as a group is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't know who the character is when you're making them.
True.
So I think I might amend that a little bit and say make a character who doesn't have obvious reasons to not work with the other characters.
That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
You know, so like leave it open where you're like, well, I haven't really decided these things, but... Yeah, what you guys are saying sounds like, you know, it matches my worldview. You know?
I choose to not play someone who slits people's throats in their sleep.
Right, exactly, exactly. So, I was thinking, okay, so speaking of that, what do you think about, like, the typical, I'm going to steal from everybody I see, fantasy thief character?
Yeah, that's, again, that's one of the things. If the person who's playing him is a douche, then, you know, good riddance.
Right.
If he's just going to cause trouble and be a pain in everybody's side. But if it's a matter of just someone that is actually playing in character and is playing that person, then the other players should feel free to kick him out, because that's what would probably happen in the fiction of the story.
So much like everything we say on the podcast, we're saying make it matter. Like, whatever the character does, there need to be consequences.
Exactly, exactly.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a cleric in the group and this is some kind of rogue that's stealing everything from, then have the cleric cast a geese spell on him, you know, where he has to start singing anytime he tries to steal something.
That's pretty harsh. I thought you were going to say if there's, like, a priest among a group of everyone else who's evil, well, then you kind of have a problem.
I guess he's getting kicked out.
Yeah. Oh, come on, guys, I'm good. It's like, yeah, well, we're not.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so what do you think of this example? Because in the vampire game we played, like, your character and my character pretty much didn't get along at all.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, like, I think you said, both of our characters weren't, like, selfish, but we... Well, no, I was going to say put ourselves first, which is the very definition of selfish. All right.
I'll admit straight up, I was playing a selfish character. Oh, we should probably put some backstory into this, dude. Okay, so basically we're playing a vampire campaign where Wayne's character was... accused of killing somebody.
It was a bunch of other vampires, yeah.
That's right, yeah, yeah. Jeez, it's been so long ago. Accused of killing a bunch of other vampires, and my character was an investigator who was investigating him. And so basically we had to stick together, like, you stay with him, watch him, make sure he's the killer, find out what really happened, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so we, like I said before, like, there, unless there's, like, a really strong reason to hang out with someone you don't like, i.e., being ordered to by someone who could, like, end your life in a second, then you're not going to spend time together. But because our characters were forced to be together. We spent time together despite kind of hating each other's guts and going about every single problem differently. And hey, you know what? I just realized, were we actually playing ourselves? Because we tend to argue a lot.
I think maybe we just loosened the chains a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But like in that one, in my opinion, it didn't devolve into or it didn't become a player versus player situation. Despite now realizing that we had chucked each other's characters under the bus.
Many occasions.
Yeah, many occasions. And I think what kept it from being a PvP situation is that each of our characters' lives pretty much depended on the other character. Mm-hmm. And nothing our characters did directly put the other character in a life or death situation.
Yes. You know, I think there was quite a bit of player versus player, actually, but not to the point of killing each other, because we screwed each other over often, like you said, chucked under the bus. I mean, I remember I stole your phone on several occasions so I could see what phone numbers you were dialing.
Really? I didn't know that.
I know you didn't.
Crap!
There was the one time when you let the actual suspect escape because she was a friend of yours. And then she went and hypnotized me and made me go and do stuff, which I thought was kind of dangerous for an investigator to be toting around the primary suspect. But so we never actually got to the point of fighting each other. But also I wonder if that was had any kind of metagame aspect to it. Because, you know, we also realized that we were in a game where we were supposed to be working together towards a certain goal, solving this mystery. So there, if there was some restraint there or not.
Well, I think there was. I think there's always a little bit of restraint because the players know this is a game. And killing or really screwing up someone's character to the point where they're no longer playable is robbing that player of having fun.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, yeah, they'll have to make like a new character, but it's still kind of like, it's kind of a nasty thing to do. But I guess as a counterpoint to that, Lyle, who was running that vampire game, said, if there comes a point in the story where your characters would no longer work together, mm-hmm. packing up in character, you know, your character packing up and leaving town is a viable option. Mm-hmm. Like, and he said, and in that case, the story will just end because he said he would rather end the story at a logical point, which could be we break up rather than try and find contrived reasons to have us stay together and continue the story artificially.
Yeah.
And I remember at one point in the story, there was a point where I seriously considered just having my character hop in the car with that primary suspect who happened to be his vampire mom, not just friend, and just leaving town.
Yep. And I remember considering just letting you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so that actually leads us into the second part of the episode, which is how do you play real player versus player games where everybody knows and is ready to go along with killing each other or just screwing each other, as it were.
Well, I think it requires a different setup of game. Mm-hmm. And the go-to example I'm going to use is, Monster Hearts, because, yep, A, it's a great game. B, it's player versus player. So, like, in the team game, I think I said there's kind of a plot-related goal that the team is trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. In a player-versus-player game, I don't think you can really have that. Because having all the characters work together to try and get a common goal, again, you run into the problem of, okay, anyone who is directly trying to screw over the other characters is actively trying to counter reaching that goal. Mm-hmm. So I think games that don't have that, you know, clear plot-related goal, like a sandbox game, are better suited to player versus player games.
Yes and no. I can see an argument for games that are kind of halfway through, like the Hunger Games example, wherein the players are in a grand scope against each other because maybe there can only be one winner, but they are allowed to work together for maybe even a long term. Kind of situation. With gladiators. You're all members of the same gladiator group, then you'll fight against other gladiator teams, or against challenges, or soldiers, or animals, or things like that. But who knows, someday, eventually, you may be called on to fight against each other, at which point it can become player versus player.
That's true, and the temporary nature of alliances in the Hunger Game, and the temporary alliance, you know, in real-life Gladiator examples, and of course, you know, the Spartacus TV show.
Is awesome.
Is awesome, but by its nature is never altruistic, never true, you know? Like, yeah, there's examples of people or, you know, forming teams in the Hunger Game, but everybody inside that team knows at some time in the future, that team is going to break up.
Uh-huh.
It's not, I guess, again, it's kind of like, counter that with the Avengers. You never really get the feeling that once they become a team that the Avengers are going to fragment again. Mm-hmm. You know, there is no only one person from the Avengers it will become the ultimate Avenger kind of thing.
Yeah.
So their teamwork is real and true, I guess, for lack of a better term.
I don't know. I think it could be dynamic through them. Oh, okay, well, here's an example.
I'm not saying it's static, and I'm not saying there won't be, you know, like, power dynamics in there, but unlike the Hunger Games and unlike Gladiators, there's no real incentive to not work as a team with the Avengers.
Right. Yeah. So you're right about the Avengers, you know, they have every reason to stay as a team, but in situations like the Hunger Games, you know, where people have every reason not to stay as a team, they still do team up. And those teams, you know, you can mature and you can learn to like the other people enough to where you don't want to kill them. Let me give an example. I made a short adventure that I ran you guys through a long time ago. We never actually finished it, but it was where you found yourselves in kind of a Greco-Roman style dungeon. The idea was that after you fight through the dungeon to get to the end, in the end it would release you into a great big arena where it's revealed that you are a bunch of gladiators and you have to fight to the death. So despite the fact that you've helped each other out of this prison and helped each other through this dungeon, it's kind of a moral choice at the end that what do you do? Do you actually fight each other or do you say throw it on the weapons and say, no, we want to stay together?
See, I kind of see that as being very different because we don't know that going in.
True.
That doesn't color our perception. And then at the end, yeah, it is a kind of like a moral decision because, hey, all of a sudden only one of us can survive and we're going to have to kill each other. And maybe I'm wrong. This is just personally just me. I see characters or players in that situation trying to find a way to complete that as a team more often than, you know, secretly telling each player individually, hey, this is a PvP game. Only one of you can win at the end of you clearing this dungeon. You're going to have to fight each other, and only one person's going to survive. If all the players, and therefore characters, know that going in, that's going to be a very different game.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the twist wouldn't work.
Exactly, and then the twist wouldn't work. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that there's room within PvP games for players to decide to not be PvP, to work together, even if it's to their detriment, if it's not a beneficial choice.
Well, I agree, but not because of any of the examples you gave. Sorry.
Okay.
I agree, again, because of running and playing in Monster Hearts. Like, there's nothing in that game that encourages players to work together.
I think one of the differences between Monster Hearts and something like D&D is combat. Monster Hearts is not a combat-heavy game, and so it's not likely that the actions you're going to take will directly lead to someone's death. It may build up consequences that eventually do, but I don't think it'd be a common thing in Monster Hearts for one character to kill another one.
Again, and as usual.
I know it'll happen, but I don't think it's one of it's kind of like, here's a group of teenagers who are also monsters who are kind of nasty to each other, and here's a lot of social different kinds of events that go through them. But there's not... It's not the same as, you know, playing a bunch of guys with armor and swords on.
No, but this is going to get a bit mechanical, but I think that has more to do with the system
and the story,
because while, yes, Monster Hearts is not a combat-heavy game, it is still dangerous, because characters can take so few hits, and you can dish out so much damage with a single hit. I think a character in a Monster Hearts game who is dedicated to putting someone down will. Mm-hmm. And in a very short amount of time. Like, mechanically, all you would really need is two or three rolls, which could be a single fight. You know, it could take like 5 minutes of game time. Whereas like D&D and games like that, yeah, your guy's in armor and, you know, you're kind of know you're going to be fighting and you have all these hit points to get through and it's going to take a long time to put someone down. So I think a game of Monster Hearts could escalate pretty quickly into, this is going to sound weird, but I think the reason that it doesn't is a bit metagamey, because everybody knows this is a player versus player game, and everybody sees how easy it is to really mess someone up in physical combat. And therefore, my feeling is the players and characters kind of police themselves. You know, it's like the threat of having someone do to you exactly what you did to them prevents a lot of direct confrontation. Because, like, if you go after someone in that game and you don't finish them, they're probably going to come right back at you and do exactly the same thing to you.
Yeah, but with a baseball bat.
Yeah, exactly. With a baseball bat or giant werewolf claws or some kind of really nasty magic. Or they'll just rip you limb from limb if they're a ghoul.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like, it's almost kind of like an anarchist society where, you know, the threat of everyone else taking action against you kind of keeps you in check.
I guess so. But, you know, that said, actually, while we're on the topic of PvP, this is something I wanted to bring up earlier, but I wanted to give it a shout-out anyway. Have you heard of the Pathfinder PvP?
Actually, I just saw that in DriveThruRPG.
Yeah, I just found out about it in looking up research for today's podcast. Man, it looks like so much fun. It's called Pathfinder Conflict PvP, and it's an entire system, a whole book devoted to when players fight other players. It's specifically about how to set up the matches, how to balance their skills, and it's got all kinds of different things so you can actually turn it into different kinds of games for nice just, hey, I want to fight you shorts, or if your campaign actually turns into something that has like that. So just a quick shout out there.
That product to me kind of sounded like an organized sport a little bit.
It does. It sounds like it'd be a great resource for a gladiator type game, because it's really about balancing the two sides and having a fun fight. It's less to do with building a good story.
Right, right. I could see that being worked in, yeah, as you said, to like a gladiator type game, or using it to make sure that your gladiator matches are balanced or imbalanced, mm-hmm. You know, as, yeah, that wouldn't be the story, but would be part of a larger story, like, hey, again, Spartacus, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that actually brings up a good point, that there's also occasional opportunities inside non-PvP games to have PvP situations as well. Examples of this are if the group splits into different directions, just for maybe investigating or something like that, then you can have players take up the roles of NPCs and fight against the main characters, or even roleplay against them as well. So there's lots of opportunities to use player versus player in kind of safe situations, quote unquote.
Sorry, you mean like you split the party into two groups, A and B, and when A is playing their characters, B is playing NPCs?
Yeah.
Okay, like I see what you're saying, but I wouldn't consider that player versus... I mean, okay, that is player versus player.
Exactly, it's not character versus character. It's player
but it's not
versus
character
player.
Versus character, right.
Right,
okay.
Right. And actually, I used that a little bit in the D&D game we played as well, when we had the big church battle. I didn't want to make it seem contrived, because it was a big battle in the story, but the players weren't actually part of it. So I didn't want to just kind of announce the winner to the players, and, you know, it seemed kind of contrived then. So instead, I let the one... half the players play the good guys, half the players play the bad side, and then I actually fight it out.
Right, and then you know, Lyle tried to wrap a note around a dead baby and chuck it out the window, right.
That part wasn't so fun, but
yeah. I thought that part was hilarious. But, yeah. No, I know what you're saying, and I think I would consider that a mini game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is as well.
You know, I don't really think I would consider that... I mean, okay, it is player versus player, but I don't think I would consider it PvP for... you know, the purpose of what we were kind of talking about before, because the main characters aren't acting against each other,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. But, you know, there are still situations where the main characters can act against each other and can fight as well that can be perfectly within the story, but it still doesn't change the game into a player versus player game. An example I'm thinking of, and this isn't mine, I read this online, was that someone said they played a World of Darkness werewolf game. And so there was occasionally challenges for who was going to be the alpha member of the pack. And the players would fight each other. And it was never to the death, but, you know, the rest of the pack, they would kind of side up with who they wanted to win. And the sneakier or more social characters would try and, you know, bump up one side or the other or trick the other side to try and get the person they wanted to win to win. So I think there's room for a player conflict like that, that versus each other to try and hinder or even hurt each other, that can still work in a game that is group-oriented.
Yeah, you saying that makes me really think that my definition of, like, player versus player is a sliding scale, or, you know, like a big gray gradient, because, yeah, that werewolf thing you described, it is player versus player, but you said the fights were never really to the death. I mean, I'm sure death could happen by accident, and I'm sure there were a couple, you know, like big bad guys or, you know, shady characters who would kill if they had the opportunity, but would the main characters? I tend to think no, you know? So, yeah. but again, it's, you know, closer to the scale or closer to the line, maybe not over it, but it's kind of one of those things like hard to give a definition. I'll know it when I see it.
Yeah. You know? I consider in general that stealing from players or betraying them, shaming them publicly, I think all those things fall into the player versus player thing because they're hurting another player's progress. It's not working together as a group.
Yeah. I can see that, you know. Yeah. Shaming someone, humiliating them, which is the same. You know, damaging their reputation, stealing things from them. I tend to think that's all acceptable for the most part. For me, there has to be like a direct and pretty much unavoidable chain of events from what one character did to another character being completely ruined. Mm-hmm. Either that means dead, or so, you know, shamed that they have to commit suicide if you're playing like L5R or something like that.
Well, that's why I tend to think that it's a bit of a slippery slope when you say, I will not allow any player versus player in my game. Because, you know, it doesn't have to be a single event. As you said, it can be a chain of events that lead up to something. And at what point do you cut it off, you know? And then you've built up canon behind it that you erase it now?
Yeah, definitely. I think by saying there has to be a chain of events, I was thinking like a very short chain, like one link, you know? Mm-hmm. Player action A causes character B so much trouble that they are now ruined.
Yeah.
And an unplayable character. That to me, no matter whether it's physical violence or social damage or whatever, that's kind of the definition of PvP. But can you do two links? You know, what if player B could take action to avoid their fate? Then does it count as PvP? You know? So that's when you start getting into the gray areas. But as you said, that's a pretty good point. Saying no player versus player conflict at all is kind of ridiculous, in my opinion. Like because there's so much stuff that could technically be considered player versus player actions that, yeah, that slippery slope, you can't really ban anything.
Yeah, which is why the point I said earlier is just, you know, make sure that your players are mature enough to be able to handle those kinds of situations. And if not, then you maybe have to play a kind of game that doesn't allow for people to die or has fewer consequences into it. Or just lots of loot so they don't pay attention to killing each other.
Yeah, exactly. Or find fictional ways to prevent them from, you know, hurting each other. Always have one NPC step in or something, you know?
Yeah, their lives depend on each other. If one dies, then so does the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to the end of the episode of Player versus Player. Yeah, it really was kind of rambling advice rather than concrete points, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was weird. We hardly fought at all. This is supposed to be like a player versus player podcast.
I think we got it all out before we actually recorded the episode.
It's true.
But again, just to reiterate, we're talking about characters fighting other characters, not actually players fighting other players. And I think this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. If there actually are problems between two players of your group, well, as Chris said in the beginning, that's something you can't solve in-game, and you should really sit down and talk about.
Exactly. So. But yeah, if it's a matter of where the characters are fighting against characters, there's lots of different ways we can handle that and just make it fun. Make it part of the story, build it into it. I suppose as a regular mantra goes, make it matter.
Yep. I guess we should have said this earlier, but I think that's kind of like a social contract. Like, if you are running a player versus player game, I think you need to be upfront with that to the players before things start. And if you'd prefer to not run a player versus player game, well, then be upfront with that too. Mm-hmm. Just so people know what to expect when they're playing.
All right, well, good luck killing all your other characters in your group. All right. Well, thank you for joining us again on Out of Red Hands. Check us out online at www.idleredhands.com, outofredhands.com. You can listen to the episode right there on the website, or you can stream it through iTunes or Stitcher, or download it through DriveThruRPG. You can post a comment up on Facebook or follow us on Twitter or on the website right after the episode, or you can just send us an email because we always love hearing from you, getting questions from you and suggestions and all that other good stuff. So keep it coming. Oh, and thanks for the email, Mead. Appreciate it. And see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Drive-Thru RPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week. And we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. Drive-Thru RPG, the one true source for RPGs.
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.
Yeah, you should have heard Lyle trying to do that outro last time. It was hilarious.
Really?
Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go and listen to that.